Greetings, brothers and sisters. The name of the one whose father was high and mighty, and he was the spotless Lamb of God, we sang about, and we are the guilty and vile and helpless. Full atonement, can it be? It's because those showers of grace come down from above. That's what it's all about, this grace. And yes, we pick out these things. Anybody does, not just preachers, when you're thinking about something, when it has become a bit of a part of you. Seems like all roads point in that direction. That's the way life is. I don't know what to title our few scattered thoughts this morning, but it is a discourse on faith and works, and maybe discourse isn't the right word. I didn't know what else to put there. Because it's a little bit like, what I discovered is it's a little bit like I can envision a child that, no, that's not a good illustration. Let's try something else. Somebody that wants so badly to eat a large cookie, but they know they shouldn't eat the whole thing. So they just nibble around the edges just a little bit to get a taste of it. And that's a little bit what we're going to do this morning. When we think about faith and works, we're going to get to James chapter 2 after a while. But as a subtitle, some people don't use titles, and like Dwayne said this morning when we got here, some use three or four. But the subtitle would be, "The Just Shall Live by Faith." And we're going to, I hope you can follow along with me, because I don't even know if I can follow myself this morning. So as we look at the word faith, think about the word faith. I'm not going to look at it while it's connected. Maybe we should do this. In honor of my brothers here on the second front bench, this topic is a little bit like dairy casserole. Because it's just kind of, you look at it and you don't know what's what in it. And this noodle poking up may not be connected at all to the other noodle poking up out of this milky, creamy base. But them especially, they know that it's good and they want it, although they don't know how to dissect it. Now, I know that faith and works is good, even though I don't know how to dissect it this morning. I don't know which noodle to pull on, and you will discover that as we go about this. So faith is, we're going to look at faith as a belief system, not as the confidence and in the unknowns that the Heavenly Father is taking you, although it is connected. Salvation by grace, by the grace of God. We're still defining faith, and we're not going to get done defining faith, but one more phrase. And it's God's plan for mankind, which is a gift from Him. That's the faith we're talking about. Strong's used the word persuasion. So keep that in mind as well as we think this morning about faith. So why faith? Why not the law? And this is where we get this mix, because I wanted to focus on James 2, but I had to start somewhere else, and we're going to get to that. Why not the law? The law was first, but the law didn't work out. So was it a trial run by God? God's like, oh, I'm going to try the law. Let's see how that works out. And he's like, no, we got to send Jesus. That's not going to work out. We know that's silly to talk like that. It was not a trial run by God. But the law came because of man's sin, and God needed to establish law, because the Bible tells us that because of the law, sin is manifested, is brought to light because of the law. And the law establishes what separates man from God. That's what the law is all about. Turn to Romans chapter 3. When we read James chapter 2 in our family devotions, I was in Romans at the same time, I saw the tie together. Now, because I'm a slow reader, I'm still in Romans, by the way, even though we read James 2 and I read Romans 3 probably a week and a half ago. Romans 3, I guess we'll just read verses 19 to 28. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And again, the clock is going to keep ticking, and so we cannot get, won't get near everything that in these verses that we read. Verse 19, just to pull out an item or two here. Verse 19 lets us know in the last phrase that the law established guilt to them that are under the law. It establishes guilt. All the world becomes guilty before God because of the law. And God set up the law. Verse 20. It tells us here that by the deeds of the law, no flesh is justified. The law does not bring freedom. The law does not bring justification. It exposes sin, but it does not justify. Verses 21 to 23 tell us that righteousness without the law is now the way. Salvation through Jesus Christ was already talked about by several prophets. It tells us in the Old Testament, verse 21, it says, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So salvation was already talked about numerous times by several different prophets. So it was already in the plan, and that this salvation was coming through Jesus Christ, this deliverance. Righteousness by faith in Jesus is for all. And there is no difference, it tells us. Verse 22 is for all. It comes upon all men. There's no difference. For all have sinned. Now, we often quote the verse, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the context is the all is even, I think, going back to chapter 2 of Romans, where it's talking about circumcision and uncircumcision, the Gentiles, the Jews. For all, doesn't matter what group, what your belief is or was, all have sinned and come short. And that's who Jesus Christ was for and still is for, the all that have sinned. No one is without sin. In verse 28, just to highlight this, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And I'm sure whoever heard this letter being read, or whoever read this letter, however the epistle, am I saying that right? Yeah, the epistle of Paul, the apostle to the Romans. Whoever heard this was probably, at least there was some there that I'm sure felt and believed that this was heresy by Apostle Paul, that they could not be justified without. It says, justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And that was the truth that was being established that was new to them. The Bible also tells us in Ephesians that this deliverance, this gift, this is a gift of God. Ephesians, I'm just going to read that briefly, 8 to 10. Ephesians 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that you should walk in them. And I know we're talking about the law and how that is no deliverance in the law, but we're also, the title, remember, is faith and works. And it's interesting that we are not saved by works, verse 9 tells us, but we have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And I forgot to tell you that you will have an early lunch unless you participate. At the end, I'm going to open it up. We're going to talk about practically living the faith. And I want you to be thinking about that. This is the gift, the deliverance by faith, by grace through faith. When we believe and choose life, we become people of the faith, the just. I know it was a real quick getting from the law to faith, but when we choose to believe and follow Jesus Christ, we become the faith, the just. Now turn to James chapter 2. Again, we have to pick and choose verses. So we're going to start at verse 14 of James chapter 2. James 2. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Again, remember we're talking about a belief system. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. The faith, and I have that capitalized in my notes, the, capital T-H-E, faith, the faith, capital faith, is a package deal. It tells us that you're either all in or you're out. It makes it very clear here. You cannot have faith or just works. You have the whole thing. And I don't know if I'm going to remember to say it or not, but I believe the ditch, the road of faith and works, the ditch on either side, I don't know which one is more used, the faith-only ditch or the works-only ditch. They are both used. And you know people in both of those ditches. The people that can say all the right things and go to church every Sunday morning, but throughout the week do not have the works that follow after the faith they profess. And the others that are just doing good, because they want to be a good person. Either you're all in or you're out. It is an all-encompassing belief system with practical and visible outworkings. This is not a hidden thing. The faith cannot be hidden, and that's why you will be participating, I hope, at the end when we talk about the practicality of it. It was evident then, and it is still today. It's the same today. It's evident then if the faith is an active faith. Nothing has changed. People were trying to do just faith then and just works then, but nothing has changed today. It's the same. Back in James, when James wrote this epistle, it was present then. People are the same. It's still today. Verses 15 and 16. I see this example, it's very simple to understand. You know, you may say, praise the Lord, God bless you. Yes, the Heavenly Father, He will supply your needs. These are all good things to say. But there's no profit in saying that. There's no blessing in saying the right things when the person before you has a need and you have the wherewithal to help and you don't help. Or I shouldn't say you, a person does not help. There's no profit there. In fact, I believe there's condemnation. Verse 19. So he holds out that, so you do believe that there's one God and you do well because that's the truth. But he said, you're not, I'm taking my own thoughts are, you're not really that special because the devils believe the same thing. He's trying to bring it around that faith and works need to be coming out of your life, or a faith that works needs to be coming out of your life. Let us turn now. We're going to just hold this. We may come back to James 2. I want to turn now to Galatians chapter 3. Yes, that's why things aren't looking right. We were going to read Galatians 3 earlier, some of it. Okay, we're going to go back just briefly. Galatians 3, we're going to read verses 21 to 25. Starting at verse 21. And I know this is back under the law thing. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise of faith by faith of Jesus Christ might be given unto them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should have afterward been revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. For after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. And what I wanted to point out here, I raised the question, why didn't the law work? It says here the law would have worked if it could have given life. But the law could not give life. There's no life there. Only death is the result of the law. And God's plan is life. He wants life within us, and that's why the law did not work. We are delivered from the guilt that the law brings because it says, but after faith is come, after the faith has become part of us, we're no longer under that schoolmaster, under that guilt of the law. Now, we're back into faith and works, and I want to read verses 1 to 9 here of Galatians chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect or complete by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Abraham believed and made choices because of his belief system, verse 6 tells us. Abraham believed God. Now, what did Abraham have to go on? He had very little. We are so privileged to have all this. Abraham didn't even have a fraction of this. I don't know that Abraham had anything in print. It was what he allowed God to do in his heart. So Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He believed in God, and he acted on what God said. Verse 8 tells us that God knew, even before Abraham, that he was going to justify the heathen through faith. He was going to bring justification to us by bringing the faith, his plan, his salvation. He allowed a window into his plan through the example of Abraham, it tells us here. He allowed us to see a little window in as we consider the life of Abraham. And he pronounces a blessing here on all those who follow the God of Abraham and order our lives according to the faith. So who did Abraham have? Did he have a brotherhood? I was thinking about that this morning as I was studying. I have the brotherhood. I don't know who all Abraham had. He was told by God to leave Haran, I believe it was. Genesis 12 tells us that. I don't even know if he had family support because God had told him to leave. I don't know where Sarah was at. I suppose she went with him. God told Abraham to go out. If you read the story in Genesis 12, just to leave. And so he pulled up his stakes, his tent stakes, to move where? He didn't know. It's recorded there. He did not know where. He didn't know. His choices or his works were a result of him believing God with his whole heart. If he did not have the faith, whatever the faith was at that time, he could not have done it. He would never have done it because, number one, it didn't make sense. And number two, why would you follow or go somewhere where you had no clue where you're going? But he believed God with his whole heart, and God said, go. And I'm sure Abraham was not an abnormal person, so I'm sure he struggled somewhat internally. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he did. But we don't have recorded that he was second-guessing God's order. His feet showed that his life was with God. He pulled up the stakes and moved. Another instance in his life was he came to a decision point. What to do with Lot and their servants and the flocks. And again, he had a decision to make, and he separated from Lot. His confidence in allowing God to use that situation and move people around according to his plan, he allowed God to do that. And it worked again. Now, maybe we don't think of it in this way, but no ideal circumstances came out of that right at the moment when he separated. Remember, Lot got the plains. Abraham took the hill country. But with a more difficult life that came from following God, it kept him from getting tangled with Sodom. Just remember that. The times that you make a decision for Heavenly Father and it's a more difficult life, it all very likely has kept you from something else, some evil that could have befallen you were you to take or have an easier road. Genesis 22 is probably the story we think about the most that's talked about. I think that's what's referred to here in Galatians 3, where God told him to take your only son, Isaac, and offer him up. Take that promised young man that he waited so many years for, the promised seed that he had, I don't know, I didn't go reading again, but it was quite a while. And then God gave him that young man, his boy Isaac. Now that Isaac, well, I believe, was probably close to a young man. And he said, come give him up. Oh, the commitment to following the Heavenly Father. It was just to take that son, take some servants with you, and start heading up the mountain. And I can just barely imagine, but I can only imagine, the spiritual and emotional trauma that was going on in Abraham's heart and mind. That was threatening him, and that three-day walk was certainly heavier because of the emotions that he was dealing with. All this because he believed God. The Bible lifts him up. These actions are held up. These works are held up because he believed God. Verse 18 says that we are blessed today because of Abraham's obedience. He made those choices, and now we have blessing today. It says all nations are blessed. The God of Abraham is our God. He is still the God of the faith. He has not changed. He calls, he tests, and he delivers again and again and again. And you and I are all part of that. Now, I'm going to go back to James 2 for just one verse. You don't need to turn there. I'm just going to read one verse on James 2. We're going to talk now. I only have a thought or two, practically living the faith. should be able to quote it. Let me get to it. Verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Is your faith working? How is your faith working? What is your faith doing? Do people know you to be a person who has works as a result of your faith? Can you give us some help? You don't need to talk about yourself. Talk about people outside these walls. What are practical examples of your faith or of a faithful person's works? They got to be there. They need to be there. The Bible says they have to be there. Do you have any thoughts? Very good. Thank you. Yeah, that was one I had scratched in here. Who'll be next? Anything else? What about investing in the lives of others without visible results? How willing are you to let go of your schedule to help someone? Do I take time for my family, my wife and children? This week in our meeting in Ohio, we spent quite a bit of time talking about community service. I know that can be a visible thing, and that's okay. James says, I will show you my faith by my works. Are you out there interacting with the community? Anyone have anything else? I don't want to cut anybody off because this needs to be a very practical point in our lives.
I think just making God a part of our normal, everyday lives, there's different ways you can do that. One of the things I think about, we don't always do it, especially if we're driving a distance, you know, go back east, whatever, just start out with, I'll get in the vehicle and start out with prayer, just relying on God.
Yes.
I kept thinking while you're talking that the people who see our work, our faith work out in relation to our family.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about reaching out to everybody else around us, but probably most importantly, do our children and our wives see our faith work out?
Mm-hmm. Do I run from tasks or opportunities that God sends my way?
Sometimes I think it's, it sounds, this is going a little again, or a little different than what's been talked about, but it is the waiting on God to, and trusting that He had, that He has things in control. We don't actually
All right, well, you go on and keep pondering that. I know I said it's just a discourse, but remember, I don't know if you remember what the subtitle is, but the Bible says it four times, I think. The just shall live by faith. And if you're going to be a just person this morning, if you are a just person this morning, you have an active faith. But if your faith is not active, if my faith is not active, I am not a just person. I know that's harsh and ugly, but that's the fact. That's the truth. Our works show how pure our religion is. Right back in chapter 1, verse 27 of James says this, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. I know that's it was right ahead of chapter 2, but I'm just struck by this. At least, I guess it means what it says. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, why isn't it reversed? Why is it more important to keep, maybe it's just a translation. Maybe it's secondary to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions. But I think we are called, I don't want to water down what I wanted to say. And that is, I think one of the reasons that that could be lifted up higher than any other works, perhaps, higher than any other works, is that the fatherless and the widows are people that do not have the comfort and security that comes from a father and a husband. And God wants everyone to have that security and that comfort. And I believe that maybe, I know I have not been the most upright and the stellar example of someone visiting the fatherless and the widows. I know it goes beyond that. Our works go beyond that, but I was just struck by that, that our works will show how pure my religion is. Let's kneel for prayer.